Today, I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Here's the weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity. We've got some great weather coming up for today and for the next several days. Looks like a chance of some rain in the second half of the weekend into early next week. Then high pressure builds in, gives us some great weather for wood balance up next week. In the meantime, bright sunny weather, a beautiful day today, low comfortable relative humidity, and our high temperatures in the lower 80s on northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. It'll be clear tonight, nighttime lows back in the upper 50s, lower 60s. And daytime on Friday, look for a sunny day. Temperatures warming up a bit tomorrow from about 82 to 87. Clear to partly cloudy at night, mid-60s. Saturday, sunshine, then becoming partly sunny with a chance of some rain late day and evening. Our highs will reach the middle 80s. It'll be cloudy with some rain likely on Saturday night and on Sunday. Sunday's highs in the upper 70s. And then chance of showers early Monday. Highs will reach the upper 70s. Clearing for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Daytime highs upper 70s, lower 80s. Nighttime lows near 60. Recapping for today, bright and sunny for your Thursday. Temperatures will reach the lower 80s on northwest winds. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
At Entergy, meeting our region's need for reliable, affordable, and clean electricity is an everyday success story. That's because our Indian Point Energy Center supplies up to 38% of the region's power needs. It also produces some of the least expensive power generated in the region. And most importantly, it does not produce greenhouse gas emissions. That's right, zero greenhouse gases. This plays a key role in helping this area improve its air quality. So it should come as no surprise that a growing number of environmentalists, including Dr. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, say nuclear power is a vital tool in the fight against global warming. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.safesecurevital.com. Because the more you know, the more you realize that Indian Point's clean, reliable, and affordable energy is a big part of the climate change solution.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of Jim Generoso, the New Rochelle Public Library, Cherry Lawn Pharmacy, and the Soundshore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
Hello, New York. This is Bill O'Shaughnessy. Thank you. Thank you for joining us right here at 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com. We welcome you and yours once more to America's great community station, WVOX, local and vocal, and yours.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. And boy, do we have a lot of demise going on these days, don't we? We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, August 11th, 2011, the 51st day of summer. We have lost 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 30 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. Days will continue to shorten until December 22nd, as it has always been. The sun rose at 6:01 this morning. It will set at 7:59 this evening. We will have 13 hours and 58 minutes of daylight today. The moon rises at 6:35 this evening, sets at 4:51 tomorrow morning. We are 2 days short of full moon, which occurs on Saturday. Summer is more than halfway through. Next high tides in New Rochelle in about 40 minutes at 10:44. In Yonkers at 8:36 p.m. They're pretty high right now. This morning when I was out there at 7 jogging, it was pretty low. So up they go. Tarrytown, 920. Haverstraw, 946. And Peekskill just turned high at 940 a short while ago. And that's about what it is. Now a regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Second Lieutenant Jared Wayne Huey, age 33, from Edmond, Oklahoma. He was with the Oklahoma National Guard. Several Oklahoma Guardsmen were killed this last week, 2 weeks. Second Lieutenant Jared Wayne Huey was one of two soldiers killed by a roadside bomb in Paktia Province, July 29th. And there is a difference between Paktia and Paktika. So just to make that point, this was in Paktia Province. The other killed in that same incident was Specialist Augustus James Vicari, age 22, of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Sergeant Christopher Matthew Wrinkle, age 29, of Dallastown, Pennsylvania. He was with the Marine Special Operations Regiment, one of three Marines killed in a fire in their living quarters in Herat Province on July 31st. There was just a fire in their barracks. Other two were Staff Sergeant Patrick Ryan Dolphin, age 29, of Moscow, Pennsylvania, and Sergeant Dennis Edward Kanzler, age 26, of Brecksville, Ohio. Also, Staff Sergeant Leon Horace Lucas Jr., age 32, of Wilson, North Carolina. He was with the 1st Marine Division, killed in combat in Helmand Province on August 1st. Staff Sergeant Kirk Avery Owen, age 37, of Sepulpa, Oklahoma, also an Oklahoma Guardsman, killed by a roadside bomb in Paktia Province on August 2nd. Private First Class Gil Isaiah Morales Del Valle, age 21, of Jacksonville, Florida, with the 10th Mountain Division, one of two killed by a roadside bomb in Wardak Province on August 3rd. The other was Private First Class Cody Glenn Baker, age 19, of Holton, Kansas, also from the 10th Mountain Division. Sergeant Barun Ray, age 24, of Silver Spring, Maryland. He was with the 18th Engineer Brigade. He was killed in a vehicle rollover in Logar Province on August 3rd. Sergeant Anthony Delmar Peterson, age 24, of Chelsea, Oklahoma. He was with the Oklahoma National Guard as well, killed by small arms fire in Paktia Province, August 4th. Captain Wade Charles Ramsey, age 41, of Red Bay, Alabama. He was with the Alabama National Guard. A lot of guardsmen met their fate this last period. He was killed by small arms fire in Paktika Province on August 4th. Specialist Mark Jordan Downer, age 23, of Warner Robins, Georgia. He was with the 10th Mountain Division, killed by a rocket-propelled grenade in Kandahar Province, August 5th. The rocket-propelled grenade is the same weapon which took out our helicopter with at least 30 U.S. personnel or more, including Navy SEALs. That was just a few days ago on the 6th. We don't have much information about that. Specialist Jinsu Lee, age 34, of Chatsworth, California, with the 25th Infantry, died in Kunar Province on August 5th. We don't know how he died or what killed him. Sergeant Daniel J. Patron, age 26, of Canton, Ohio, with the 2nd Marine Logistics Group, killed by a roadside bomb during combat in Helmand Province, August 6th. Now, about the helicopter attack that took out so many of our guys, including Navy SEALs, the only name that's been released is Chief Warrant Officer Brian Nichols, age 31, of Kansas City, Missouri. He was with the Army Reserve, and he was one of five soldiers and 22 Navy SEALs who were killed when their Chinook helicopter was shot down while flying to assist a unit of the 75th Rangers that was pinned down in Wardak Province. Also killed in that were seven Afghan soldiers, a civilian interpreter, and a military working dog. According to reports, the Taliban responsible for the attack were located and killed shortly thereafter. These Chinook helicopters, I flew in them when I was in the Army as well. They're big, cumbersome things. I mean, they're quite agile, but they're not the kind of helicopter you visualize. They've got two very big top rotors, and they're almost like tractors. They can pick up Jeeps and anything from the ground. They're really heavy-duty things. They make a terrible racket. You have to wear earplugs when you're in them. So that was the last thing those guys felt and saw. Sorry. Also, Sergeant Aiden Gonzalez Jr., age 28, of Bakersfield, California, with the 1st Marine Division, one of two Marines killed in combat in Helmand on August 7th. The other one was Sergeant Joshua J. Robinson, age 29, of Omaha, Nebraska, also with the 1st Marines. And finally, Sergeant Alessandro Leonard Plutino, age 28, of Pittman, New Jersey, with the 75th Rangers, killed by small arms fire during a heavy firefight in Paktia province on August 8th. These 20 American military personnel were alive on the day of our broadcast 2 weeks ago. 27 others aboard that Chinook were also killed, so the toll is much higher. When those names are released, we will read them on the air. Please think of these men and women protecting our way of life, our homes, our cars, our food, our iPads, our smartphones. Our lifestyle is due to them. They must not be forgotten. Each death is a great loss to the families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts. And may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Well, we've got a couple of reviews before we get to our guest today. First of all, we saw Cirque du Soleil's Zarkana production at the Radio City Music Hall. The show started right out with the greatest juggler in the world. Well, that's not their hype. It's me talking. And I haven't seen every last juggler in the world. Maybe there's an octopus somewhere in the Indian Ocean who can do fancier tricks. I'm nothing if not open-minded. Maybe there's a better one, but this guy was good. The trapeze artists and wire walkers were professional, as were all the other acts. Some were just pretty, like the kite throwers. They have these, they dance and move, and they throw kites up, and they balloon very nicely. It was just very pretty. And then there's a sand sculptress. There's a big screen which shows what she's doing with her hands. She makes wonderful pictures out of colored sand and then whisks them away and starts something else. They are very ephemeral. I didn't love the clowns, but their job is just to distract during setups between acts, and the Radio City Music Hall infrastructure is top-notch. The ease with which they set up elaborate sets, from high wires to wheel-walking apparatus, and also the lighting was great, and it may just be the best sound system I have ever heard in such a large theater. The sound was just loud enough, it was uniform in every corner I visited, and clear with no hint of static. World-class all around. Well, maybe not the clowns, but that's just personal. Now for the downside, Cirque du Soleil is a great show in a great venue. Unfortunately, they are not a great match. Circus is best seen in the round as Cirque's Cusa, which I saw in 09. It was at Randall's Island. It was in the round where the stage was surrounded like an arena, like Madison Square Garden. In Radio City Music Hall, the stage quickly gets too far away. So if you do want to see this wonderful show, get seats in the first dozen, maybe 20 rows, and that's pushing it. Ringling Brothers knew this. They produced their shows at Madison Square Garden, which is an arena firmly in the round. It's a plus that Cirque uses no animal acts, not a single dog jumping through a flaming hoop. It's about amazing acrobatics, and if you like those, then come to Cirque. Two caveats: sit in the first dozen rows and bring your own cotton candy. Now, if we have time, I think we have a couple of minutes before break. Yes, okay. We also saw a show of the Coasters and the Platters, rock and roll groups at the Westchester Broadway Theater here in Elmsford. It is the prerogative of every reviewer to comment howsoever he or she wishes on a production. Broadway, off-Broadway, opera, ballet, circus, movie, makes no difference. Sometimes we get up on the wrong side of the bed and load up for bear. Other times we are kindly and well-disposed. Well, one can always nitpick and one can always look at the bright side. No production is perfect and all have some redeeming qualities, no matter how hard you have to look. And it is in this spirit that I review Westchester Broadway Theater's production of music by two groups representing rock and roll legend bands, the Coasters and the Platters. They're not the real Coasters and the Platters, just two groups which emulate them. Think about Elvis impersonators. They're kind of like that. I'm not going to compare the two and say that the Platters did a better job, that their arrangements were truer, that the lead singer was better, or that the band which backed both up didn't really get the feel of the original arrangements. No, I'm not going to say there were too many songs of the times recorded by other groups. No, I'm not even going to say that the cutesy number where they brought a female audience member up and changed the name of the Coasters' famous wascally wapscallion from Charlie Brown to whatever Brown detracted from that. And I will not repeat that the WBT sound system really needs an upgrade. I'm not going to say any of those things. You know why? Because they had us up and dancing in the aisles, especially when the two groups came out together for an encore set and rocked the house. The energy was great. The vibe was party. We left the theater smiling and breathless, and we will be right back.
We with business news at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour. Here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD2.
From the Fox Business Network, the opening bell kicking off today's session in the green. Just past 10 a.m. Eastern, the Dow is up 140 points. Stocks getting a boost from weekly jobless claims. They fell below the 400,000 mark for the first time in 18 weeks. 395,000 people filed for unemployment benefits last week, coming in better than forecast. Economists had expected an increase. Both U.S. imports and exports declined in the month of June, a sign of slowing global demand. The Commerce Department says the deficit rose to $53.1 billion. The consensus on Wall Street was for it to narrow. Exports posted the biggest decline in more than 2 years. French President Nicolas Sarkozy plans to meet next week with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. They'll discuss the European debt crisis. The announcement follows yesterday's emergency meeting Sarkozy held with senior ministers in a turbulent market week. The head of France's central bank says that unfounded rumors are to blame for the big drops in that nation's bank stocks. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Robert Gray.
Running a business is not for the faint of heart. Competition is fierce, margins are thin, and what you don't... That's why 6 million businesses worldwide are Sage. Software and connected services from Sage make business smarter and business life easier. A Sage business knows what's happening inside the numbers. What does it take to turn insight into income? A Sage business knows. Get in the know. Visit sagebusinessknows.com to learn how to make your business Sage.
Have ways of making you talk.
This is a crazy man.
WVOX Worldwide.
The voice of Westchester. WVOX.
We are back. You're listening to Environmentally Sound on WVOX AM 1460 out of New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Meriden, Connecticut, Meredith, New York, Mississippi, New Hampshire, or Michigan, or Oxnard, California, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live. My guest today is Ernest Davis, former and perhaps future mayor of Mount Vernon. Ernie served for 12 years until he lost the last election. Since then, things have not gone smoothly in Mount Vernon, and a primary is afoot to replace current Mayor Clinton Young. We have invited the other candidates to appear on this program, and Mount Vernon Comptroller Maureen Walker will be with us. She has accepted. She will join us on our next program in 2 weeks. We've not yet heard from the mayor or any other candidate, but everyone has been invited. Okay, welcome, Ernie Davis.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It's old familiar territory.
Yeah, well, as listeners to this station know, Mr. Davis has his own program here on Thursdays from 9 until 10 every Thursday. And the policy of the station is that if you are running for public office, you have to give that up temporarily until after the election. Well, so how is the weather in Mount Vernon today, Mr. Davis?
Well, it's hot. It's getting heated up, and it's exciting, and the streets are alive, and people are showing that they want to change in the leadership in the city, and we hope to satisfy their passions and our desires, and so as we move into the final stanza, I feel pretty confident that we can achieve what I thought we would, and that is to return the city to some foot of sanity.
Current Mayor Clinton Young has not been completely successful. I'm not that aware of what's going on in Mount Vernon, and you undoubtedly are. Is it just that he's new and he hasn't learned the job, or has he made serious mistakes? What's going on over
there?
Well,
I think people look at the mayoralty, and I don't know what they see, but obviously he did not see what the job was about. The job is about you have to be the cheerleader, you have to be the planner, you have to do a lot of things, especially in Mount Vernon. Mount Vernon is a strong mayor type of government. New Rochelle is not, and other cities are not, but Mount Vernon is, and And you have to juggle a lot of balls every day. Something different is happening there.
And he's not good at that?
No, he is not good at it. And part of it is, I think, it's a makeup of his personality. He doesn't like to go places where people are.
Oh, but you do. You're a very sociable guy.
Well, you have to be, and you learn a lot when you do that. In campaigning, you know, some days I don't want to go out. There's no question about that. But when I do, I start to see things that you never can see in a car. Walking the streets and meeting the people and yelling at the people, and it gives you a boost of confidence, and it's nothing like it. But it's not for everybody, and I think this job is certainly not for him.
Now, in addition to being the cheerleader, as you say, that's part of it, of course. You have to be popular. The people have to feel that they're being represented. But you bring much more to the table. You are an architect, and in your 12 years, you oversaw the whole development of... what is the name of that street?
Sanford
Boulevard.
Yeah.
I shop there. I live in New Rochelle, but I shop there frequently. There's a Target. There's a Best Buy. There's a Staples. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm up and down there. And you're basically responsible, are you not, for that whole development?
Oh, yeah. That development is a minor miracle. We had to dig 28 feet in rock. We had to relocate the counter sewer that was running straight through the site. And we had to overcome 15 lawsuits. But at the end of the day, it took us 3.5 years to do it. But at the end of the day, we created 1,000 jobs. We almost $5 million in retail sales tax. And if we didn't have that, we would be in very serious trouble.
So you actually won re-election twice. So you served 12 years, correct?
12 years, yeah.
That's a lot for anybody. Generally, after 12 years, whoever you are, you don't keep going, except senators, because they got whatever they got going for them.
Well, they don't meet the public in the same way.
Yeah,
the mayor is a lightning rod for any city all over the country, and it's a position that people hold in high esteem, and they're jealous of that position, and... And I was completely aware of that. But I was looking at it from an architect and a planner's point of view. I know that if you... We look, as architects, we look for things to be bad so we can make them good. When people see an empty store and not productive, we look at the possibility of being nice and an opportunity for somebody to develop it.
Interesting. And, of course, it makes a lot of sense. Empty stores are an eyesore because when you're walking down, let's say, a retail area, you want it to look successful and bustling. And if you have an empty store or more than one empty store, you say, well, why would I shop here? It kind of hurts everybody, doesn't it?
It does. But what I'm trying to get over to people, especially young folks, and I'll tell you a quick little story. I was leaving a function and a restaurant, and I was going to my car, and I meet these young guys, about 3 or 4 of them, and they had blonde hair, and some had red hair, you know, and so I was talking to them, and they knew me, and they said, we're backing you, and they came over to my office and did a video. What I found out is that these young guys are very, very well known, and they're touring Australia. They opened up for Foxy Brown.
Are they local?
Yeah, they're right in my first. And so they have joined the team, and it's interesting that I'm the oldest, aspirant for the office, and got the youngest supporters.
that sounds like a. It was a boost, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It made you feel good, I bet you. Okay, well, we have just a minute, so rather than ask a question now, let's just take our break. We will come back in just a few minutes, and we'll finish up the hour with Ernie Davis running for mayor of Mount Vernon. He has served already for 12 years. He's shooting for another four, and we'll ask him what he intends to do or what he would like to do in the next 4 years. You're listening to AM 1460 WVOX in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Achille, Bowlegs, Cimarron City, Cement or Bromide, Oklahoma, Buffalo, New York, or Buffalo, Oklahoma, Burbank, California, or Burbank, Oklahoma, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live. This show is Environmentally Sound. My guest is Ernie Davis. I am Bob Lebensold, and we will be right back.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ron Flatter. On the rebound. After losing more than 500 points yesterday, the Dow is up 219 points today. One headline that may be catching investors' attention: fewer first-time unemployment applications last week. The 395,000, down 7,000 from the previous week. 15 months before the presidential election, Republican candidates debate tonight in Iowa on Fox. They could follow frontrunner Mitt Romney's lead by zeroing in on President Obama.
The direction he would take us is simply wrong for America.
Or will the eight candidates start bashing each other? Newt Gingrich tells Fox News it should be none of the above.
We need to have a real focus on how we would lead, what we would propose.
And will the eight candidates on stage tonight mention the man not here, Texas Governor Rick Perry, who is all but set to join the race?
Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson in Ames, Iowa. Fox News. We report, you decide.
We're looking for the next Mike Francesa, Michael K., Boomer and Carton, or WVOX alum John Bronstein.
WVOX and WVOX Worldwide at WVOX.com now has program time available for rising young sports broadcasters.
And you can now produce or host an hour or half hour for your own sports talk show.
Our David O'Shaughnessy has all the details about special reduced airtime costs for independent sports talk producers.
Call David now to reserve your own weekly time slot and start booking your own guests. 914-636-1460 for special prices for sports talk show hosts on WVOX and worldwide at WVOX.com.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Our weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity calling for a sunny day today. Highs will range into the lower 80s, northwest winds at 10 to 15. It'll be clear tonight, nighttime lows from about 57 to 62 degrees. Sunny weather on Friday. Friday's highs in the middle 80s. Clear to partly cloudy at night with nighttime lows in the mid-60s. Saturday, sunshine then becoming partly sunny with a chance of late day and evening showers. Our highs will range into the middle 80s. It'll be cloudy with a chance of showers on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
We've asked Forest City Residential, the master developers for the Echo Bay waterfront, to come back to us with new concepts.
What happens next?
Committed to reinventing this government and giving this state a government that it can be proud of.
Happens here.
That until they get what they want from the budget, it will not be passed.
The jury followed the law and they followed the court's instructions. They didn't act on a visceral basis. They act on an intellectual basis.
There's always something happening on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com.
The voice of Westchester, 1460 WVOX.
You're listening to the Alla Danza Tedesca of Beethoven's from his B-flat quartet. Okay, we're back in the studio with mayoral candidate for the city of Mount Vernon, Ernest Davis. Ernie did serve for 4 years. And I misplaced my paper, so just hum a little tune in the meantime while I'm looking for it. Okay. We were just talking about what it means to be a city planner as well as an architect. We're talking about how part of being a mayor is being a cheerleader, is being out there, is meeting the people, that letting them feel that there's a presence. And apparently, personality-wise, Mayor Clinton Young is perhaps lacking in that area. Not to question his integrity or his abilities in other areas, But it really is important to be out there and to be seen and visible. So that kind of brings me to a lifestyle question, Ernie. You wake up early every morning. I know that. You hit the tennis courts. You win some, you lose some. But that's like a work ethic that all successful professionals seem to have. Back in the day when I was calling companies and trying to get things done, I would call early in the day because I was most likely to have the CEO himself or some other high-level executive pick up the phone. If you call at 9 o'clock, you're going to get the routine. You're going to get the secretaries and the minor people. But if you want the major people, you make that call before 8 o'clock in the morning, and you're likely to get somebody real mover and shaker to just pick up the phone and say, hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. And that's how you kind of get through. And that seems to be your work ethic.
Yeah, you know, I'm Southern by birth, Northerner by experience up here. Been here most of my life. But, yeah, I admire people who work hard and who have the basic tenets of, you know, all the things that we hold dear. And I think we have to get back to that ethic. Too often, I think, in this country, and I don't know about other countries, but I think that we don't value work. We don't put a premium on work. I noticed that foreign people who come from other countries tend to have that work ethic that we used to admire.
Sometimes they do, yeah. See the Hispanics, I guess, Mexicans and others. They're out there crack of dawn for shape-ups or whatever it is to just get a day's work if possible. You know, well, they're out there.
Yeah, and but they come with a purpose.
They want to work and make money, yeah.
They come with a purpose. And where they're coming from, this is heaven to where... Otherwise, they wouldn't come.
Why would you come here except to make money?
and so, but a lot of them would stay, and they melt into this whole thing, and then they adopt the same attitude as we do after they've been here for a
while. They get sloppy, too. Well, it's too bad. And, you know, I always reflect on how we are a mighty military power. We are fighting wars to protect our right to be lazy.
I don't know. That's romanticizing it, but I think we are just power-driven and violent-driven, and we wanted to have it our way. Mm-hmm. And we missed some very important lessons. We are in 39 countries.
Really?
Have bases, and which is really... not necessary. And if you, we're talking about balancing the budget, right? And make, you know, fine, everybody needs
we're talking
budget.
About it. That's all we're doing.
About, yeah. But where they want to cut is they want to cut and the little guy. They want to cut the little guy. And it's the little guy who's fighting the wars. It's the little guy who's getting shot up. Right. And what we want to do is we want to give companies the right to go overseas, make things cheap, and sell it back to us for a lot of money.
And also the manufacturers of war machinery, war materiel, bullets, bombs, rockets, they want war because that's money for them.
Oh, absolutely.
So
and Eisenhower warned us about that.
That's right.
And yet, I mean, we don't, but they colored in patriotism. Oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. No, right.
No, we don't.
And then all of when you're reading all these young guys getting killed, roadside bombs.
Right.
We're never going to win a war in somebody else's country. And we learned nothing from Vietnam. Ho Chi Minh said, you can never win this war. And we have bombs and all that. And they said, well, why do you say that? He said, because this is our country. We will fight to the last man.
That's right.
He said, it's not yours, and you will lose the will to be here. After you see the body bags come home, you'll lose the political will to be here because it's not your country.
And I guess if you die on your home soil, there's a certain honor in that. And if you die on foreign soil, it's like you died away from home.
Yeah. And you said, what?
It's a different thing.
And somehow... You know, old men make wars, young men have to fight. And somewhere we're going to have to come to our senses. And the people are fighting us they don't have all this materiel, but we keep doing it.
So I gather with you as mayor, Mount Vernon will not invade either Pelham or New Rochelle.
No.
That's nice.
We'll keep it down. The urge to merge will be sublimated.
Okay, if anybody would like to call, if anyone has any questions for Ernie Davis, we're at 636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. If you have any questions for Mr. Davis. Now, you did speak about the Sanford Boulevard corridor and all the development that went in there and the problems moving the infrastructure, the sewage situation, and all those lawsuits. I remember one, I think Jim Mazzano was involved with the group because they were... Oh, you're infringing on whatever. I don't know.
We're going to kill the kids.
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, they had all kind of absurd
arguments. You did prevail. So now, what else? I mean, that's a big accomplishment for the 12 years. And, of course, you were the cheerleader. What other accomplishments? How else did Mount Vernon change while you were mayor?
Well, when I came into office, Mount Vernon was in very bad shape, pretty much the way we're approaching it now. And we carved out two areas that we're going to work in. We did a master plan for Sanford Boulevard and 3rd Street. And we brought in the people who we knew would be the shakers and makers in that area. Sal Pepe was a big mover on Sanford Boulevard. With him, we did Staples, we did... CVS, we did move the post office, and we did, of course, he was involved in the big project because he owned much of the land, so we had to negotiate with him. We had to move Pepsi-Cola, had to take their property. So it's a really big deal, and luckily we had a good developer. We both will talk about it, and we said, we got two crazy people thinking we can do this, and we did it. And more things like that has got to happen. For instance, you got to be bold. I say to people who want to be mayor in Mount Vernon, be bold or go home, because this city needs a lot. And it needs some bold and controversial things. And if you can't do that, this is really the wrong
place. So what does it still need, and what will you address in the next 4 years if you regain the office?
Well, the first thing we have to do is change the mindset of the city. It's in an angry mood now, you have to pull the city together. What we were doing... Arts on 3rd, I'll bring that back. The Grand Prix, I'll bring that back. The Italian nights that we closed off the street, we'll bring that back. Parade of Flags, we'll bring that back. During the Christmas season, we're going to find a way to get toys to our children. We're going to, tennis is going to still reign supreme. We're going to get the Mayor's Cup back. We're going to revisit Memorial Stadium because I don't think what has been proposed makes any sense at all. It doesn't create jobs. It doesn't expand the economy. All it does is put a burden on the taxpayers. Well,
it sounds to me like you treat Mount Vernon as your family. It's like
it is a family.
You want to make everybody participate in something for everybody, and nobody gets left out, it sounds like.
Right, yeah. I've always approached it that way because that's the way it is. We have to pull this wagon together. I was at a college party last night and said, you know, all of us are going to have to do more. Don't sit back and wait for government to do all of it. I want some initiatives coming out of the community. That's where it's going to have to be.
Have you gotten that kind of response from the community?
Oh, yeah. People, and I'm running for office not because I sit and want to just do this. People have been coming to me in hordes asking me to run. And I thought about it, and I decided to do it. And they have responded, and hopefully they'll respond in the right numbers, and we will again be working for the people.
Very good. Okay, we're about to take another break. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle. My guest is Ernie Davis, and we will be right back.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu on Wall Street. Stocks surging in early trading, possibly fueling some of that rise.
A better-than-expected report on jobless claims that's leading to hopes the job market is improving. The number of people filing for unemployment benefits for the first time fell to 395,000 in the latest week, the first time it's been below 400,000 in 4 months.
Fox Biz Network's Lauren Simonetti. The president heads to Michigan shortly to talk jobs before visiting New York for fundraising. Tonight, eight Republican presidential hopefuls take the stage at a debate in Iowa, which is being aired on Fox, and a sentencing in one of the biggest courtroom scandals in U.S. history. A former Pennsylvania judge getting 28 years for accepting nearly $1 million in bribes in a case known as Kids for Cash. Prosecutors say he took money from the builder of two youth detention centers while he was sentenced. Sentencing the young offenders to the lockups. Fox News, we report, you decide.
On 9/11, the world was changed forever. This 10th annual 9/11, come out and help change the world. Since Saturday after 9/11, Habitat in the Army building in New Rochelle was volunteering, loading with relief supplies, doing service. Before it was in vogue, thousands of volunteers every year since then have come out and helped build homes, make community gardens, paint abandoned buildings, do something positive in honor of someone that they might have lost during 9/11, or in honor of what the best is about being an American, no matter what faith or no faith. We encourage you to get your congregation, whether you be Jewish, Christian, Muslim, or no faith, to come out and join us this 9/11. Build with us with Navy volunteers, West Point cadets, high school leaders, congregations, Woodlands, Dobbs Ferry Lutheran, and many more. Please call me at 403-4821 if you want to get your congregation or your company involved, or come out and do a day of service. From September 8th to September 18th, we've expanded the days because so many want to get involved in honoring those who gave their lives for us. On 9/11, the world was changed forever. This 9/11, come out and help change the world. From Habitat for Humanity of Westchester, the future is bright with service and love and helping one another. God bless you all.
At home.
Kind of get you going in the morning.
At work.
It's on all day here.
In the car.
Every afternoon on the drive home.
We're everywhere you are.
Thank you for being there.
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX. We are back. This is Bob Lubintol. The program is Environmentally Sound. We are speaking with Ernest Davis, candidate for the mayoralty of Mount Vernon, an office which he held for 12 years before he lost the position 4 years ago. Now, the way the worm has turned, it looks like a really good opportunity to relieve the current administration of a job that apparently they're not doing as well as one would hope. Tell me, has the campaign gotten dirty out there at all, Ernie? I hate to see that. I like to see people just discuss positive ideas and let the electorate choose between candidates or among candidates for who promises and looks like they're going to do the better job. But it isn't like that. People try to cut you off at the knees.
Well, people, because negative campaigning worked. I mean, it worked against me before, and my opponent, Ms. Walker, it is, I got from pretty reliable sources, it paid someone to trudge up stuff on me.
Isn't now, that typical of every election everywhere, federal and local and everything?
Yeah, I guess it is in a lot of cases, but you ought to stick to the facts. I mean, if it's factual, that's one thing. But to make up just slanderous stuff is beyond the pale. And
you don't have to pay someone to make stuff up. You have to pay someone to find out the truth.
Well, that's true, too. But, in fact, I was when we were going through the petition stage, this guy who was exuberant, he worked for Clinton before. And then he came to me in a restaurant, Clinton's no good. Now he's working for Maureen Walker. And when she loses... I don't know what he'll do, but he was telling people that I was on drugs and don't vote for him.
Drugs?
Yeah.
You mean like aspirin? Because I've known you for a long time and I've never seen you high in my life.
Well, but I can't. Every time I see him, I say, well, I'm not high today, you know.
I mean,
but
after a good tennis workout, you might look a little drowsy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because you've been busting your butt, expending energy, but not people.
People think that will get them in place. But I want to warn them, as an older gentleman, that karma is a strange thing. It'll come back to bite you. And but from the city's point of view, it poisons the air. And if you've gotten there by illicit behavior or lying, it will come back to haunt you. It really will. So I try to practice not to do that, and try not to lie on people, because you don't have to. Not being the mayor is not the worst thing in the world, because I have been something else longer than I've been the mayor.
An architect. Tell me, is Maureen Walker a good candidate? How does her presence, you know, when we do politics, we parse the numbers. We say, okay, this district falls this way and this way, and we just try to figure out how to win. Besides the rhetoric and the conversation and the debate, we try to say, well, this area, so and so and so. So is Ms. Walker, who is currently the comptroller,
right,
in Mount Vernon? Is her presence hurtful for your campaign? Does it help you? Will Mr. Young, loses the votes to her?
Who knows? Nobody knows that. Okay. People guess at it. But this is what I think people should use certain criteria, whether you like the person or not. First, you ought to look for people who can do the best job, not the one who got out here first. I've had people say, oh, my God, you got out here. I promised I was going to support her, so now I have to do that. I said, that's ridiculous. I mean, unless you think she's the best candidate. If she's the best candidate, you obviously should do that. But if you can't, I don't think you should. That's the correct criteria to use, especially since we made a mistake with Clinton Young. I think you should learn from your mistakes, and you know, just because you were a controller, that doesn't mean that you can run a city. It's a whole different skill set.
Well, of course, controller is the financial person,
right?
And that doesn't include the cheerleader. It does not include city planning. It just means I can balance the checkbook,
right?
But since it's not your own budget, it's a city budget, you can't even do that. You can only say, well, you're not balancing it, or
right,
you are. Well, but
this is a different skill set.
Does she have other skills, or is she basically a financial person?
I think finance is her best way in terms of serving the city, because unless you can go to 3rd Street and 7th Avenue, unless you can understand the difficulties people have from day to day, unless you're prepared to do 24/7 going here, going there, and then come back and do administrative work, unless you're prepared to understand the complexities of the city, not just in terms of sociality. Developers have to have confidence in you. The people that work for you have to have confidence in you. And if you don't have that, you're going to have a real rough time at this job.
Well,
as a prison mayor,
could Maureen Walker be a comptroller in your administration? Is she that good?
She's independently elected. I tell people this.
Oh, I see.
So
it's not an appointed position.
When I came in office, the city was in a bad shape in 95. And I did 12 years, and the city was, I left the city in good shape. Maureen Walker was the controller in bad times, and then she was the controller when I was, the 12 years I was there, in good times. Now I left. Maureen Walker is still the controller. Clinton Young was the mayor in his bad time. So apparently that combination doesn't work unless Ernie Davis is there.
So your message, of course, is vote for Ernie Davis. And it's also get out and vote. Don't take anything for granted.
No,
the people
you can't.
Of Mount Vernon.
No, we did that before, too. And I think people understand that. See, you got to be able to understand development. You got to understand your possibilities, and you got to work with that and make everything work. We did a lot of things to promote entrepreneurship and with young folks especially. And I'm talking to them about that, and you can see that they're eating that up. And I think we're going to get leaders out of this new young group that's coming up.
Excellent. As I always say to voters, no matter what side I am on, get out and vote. Make yourself be known. To me, I'd much rather lose in a large turnout than win in a small one because my people came out and the other guy's people didn't. It's not my will that matters. It's the will of the people that matters. Mm. So I would say that if you live in Mount Vernon, of course, anywhere where there's an election, you should do this all the time. Get out. Express yourself. America is that. People are dying today to protect that right for you, and it honors our troops it honors all Americans, but it's our troops who are giving their lives or risking their lives in foreign lands to vote and have something to say about what their fate is going to be. It's not your duty. You don't have to do it. It's not your responsibility. You don't have no one will chastise you if you don't. But it's a privilege, and you should exercise that privilege, I think. So get out and vote, and Ernie Davis is a fine candidate. I have not yet met Ms. Walker. Maureen Walker will be here in 2 weeks, and we'll see what she has to say about it. We got about a minute and a half. Ernie, would you like to say anything else to tie us up?
I concur with your suggestion, get out and vote, and I say that if you didn't vote, you actually did vote. And politicians really look at districts, how they come out. And if it's a matter of fixing a street in your area or not, then guess what? The one that offers the more possibility of voting will tip that balance. And register, you still got time to register. And because if you don't register, you can't vote. And just call my office, and we'll be meeting with you if you need to. You can call me personally at 715-0936, and I will put you in touch with the right people. I'll come to your house if you need.
Now, that is the mayor talking to me. Of course, I don't know the other candidates, but I love Ernie, so of course I'm biased. Thanks a lot for being with us today.
Listen, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's great seeing you. Like most of us, I find many public officials to be beneath the public trust, spineless, greedy, and narcissistic. Too harsh? Well, there are those who truly believe in public service and fulfill that calling with intelligence and dignity, and Ernie Davis has done that, and he is an exception to the general rule that politicians are unworthy. I think he's definitely a worthy guy, and I'm looking forward to meeting Ms. Walker in 2 weeks to see just how worthy she is. The primary is in September. What date is it? September 13th. That will tell the tale for the general election in Mount Vernon. Primaries are very often all you need to win. I think in Mount Vernon, I think Democrat is going to win. So the primary is very important. And of course, even if it seems to be a foregone conclusion, get out for the general as well. In 2 weeks, we have, as I said, Maureen Walker. She is currently Mount Vernon Comptroller, one of Mr. Davis's competitors for mayor. Our thought for the week, there are two theories about how to argue with a woman. Neither works. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the U.S. of A. Next up, Howard Sturman, my personal beacon of open-mindedness and decency. I am Bob Lebensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.
Thanks for making us the official Listen at Workstation. AM 1460 WV.